Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. If you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you do that. And it's very important for you to hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or I upload any brand new content. I like to interact with you guys. I like to engage with you. Can't take live phone calls, but there's two ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Coming up on today's show, they take a kidney out of a pig and put it in a human. Let's Go Brandon shows up on a traffic signal. And we're also going to talk about if guys take breakups harder than women. But the first story we're going to get into is talking about this kidney from a pig that has been transplanted into a human body. Now, I'm all for, like, medical advancements and stuff. I'm not a religious person, so I don't even know what this means when I say this, but are we trying to play God too much? Like, we're just extending our lives more and more and more and more. Everybody is afraid of death. And I get it. Nobody wants to die. It's the unknown. It's a part of life. But are we going to come up with some type of problem? You know that the COVID-19 pandemic all started because of these zoonotic diseases. People eating like rare or weird bush meat, like bats, like they did in China. Or a spiny anteater or aardvark, whatever it may be. Yeah, what's going to happen when we start putting pig parts inside of human bodies? Is it going to make us susceptible to those type of diseases that those animals could get? I really do think they need to take their time and do their due diligence when it comes to this study.
This is it. A kidney from a genetically engineered pig. Led by Dr. Robert Montgomery, surgeons in New York worked for hours attaching that kidney to a human patient.
And this is a serious question. Why all of a sudden? Because I've heard like they use pig parts. They've been developing ways to use pig organs so humans can use them. Why pigs? Like I believe in evolution. I believe in all that good stuff. But isn't our closest relatives the apes, primates, why are we not taking their organs and using those in the body? What makes a pig so special? I mean, we're talking about the same animal that lays down in its own filth, will eat anything. They'll even eat humans. See, that's where a lot of people are mistaken. They think pigs are all, like, cute and cuddly and everything. My dad told me about a guy up in the Gainesville area, an old farmer. He ended up having a heart attack while tending to his pigs in the pen. And by the time they ended up finding him, the pigs had already eaten all of his toes off, all of his fingers off, and already started working on his face. And if you haven't seen the movie Snatch that Guy Ritchie did, it had Brad Pitt, Jason Statham, had a really, really great cast. But you remember the guy, I forget the guy's name. Hell, anyways, He was talking about if you want to get rid of a body, you just got to starve pigs for a couple of weeks, and they'll go through a full human body if you had like a dozen or so pigs, and all the evidence is gone. You got to go fishing through the pig poop just to get their teeth out.
All the while asking the same question most of us would.
When you put an organ from a pig into a human, is it going to do what it's supposed to do?
In this case, the pig's kidney needed to rid the human body of waste, and remarkably, it did.
I'm just going out on a limb here, and I would almost guess that this surgery, this transplant, is off the table for all practicing Muslims. And I'm not saying anything bad about the Muslim religion, but I also know, like, if I was Muslim and the only way that I could save my life is to get a pig kidney put into me, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm at least going to try it. Am I going to have some other side effects and stuff? Am I going to be, like, smelling like bacon all the time? And what happens if you put a pig kidney or a pig organ in a cop? I mean, can you get away with calling a cop a pig at that point? Or what about women? We always, you got to lay on the grenade for your buddy. Oh, yeah, I need you to because you see that, because all the hot girls, they always keep one heavy set chick with them. Maybe they like her. Maybe they think she's funny and stuff. But they do keep one of those fat chicks or an ugly chick around just to make their hotness, go to another level. So, like, you really, really wouldn't get in trouble if you were like, yeah, I banged a hog last night.
No evidence of this vigorous early rejection. And the second thing, the kidney functioned well.
Likely because this was no ordinary pig.
I think of that pig from Green Acres or Babe. You know, the sheep herding pig from that movie. Because when they say this was no ordinary pig, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Researchers had knocked out one of its genes that triggers the human body to reject pig organs. With family consent, the kidney was attached outside the body of a woman who had suffered brain death.
I'm speaking directly to the men out there. I mean, we've all looked at pornography online, and we all know that there's a category for everything. The further and further into the future, they just find, like, just categories of porn. And, like, do you think there is eventually going to be a category if this thing takes off where it's like, all right, I have a fetish of banging chicks that have a pig kidney on the outside of their body? Oh, God, that's so hot.
Researchers then watched as it started producing urine. The study only lasted 2 days.
Okay, see, I was completely on the mark when I was talking about the category stuff. We all know that it's been an old category on the porn stuff. Some people are into urine play. Some people are into urine play. And I'm not going to get too descriptive about it. But could you imagine? I mean, doesn't this take it to a whole nother level? If you got a hot chick that's got a pig kidney on the outside of her body and she does what she does when you're watching urine play porn videos.
But
the significance of moving, you know, this into a human, I think, can't be understated.
I do think this is one of those studies that we'll look back on.
Canadian transplant surgeons want a longer study, but welcome the news. The latest data shows over 4,000 Canadians are waiting for organ transplants.
I didn't know that this originated out of Canada. And I don't know, it's this hot chick. I don't even know if she's hot. This chick that's got a pig kidney on the outside of her body. Is she going to have like a hankering for Canadian bacon? And is Canadian bacon even bacon? No, it's just a big slice of ham. Bacon needs to be crispy. It's the same thing when it comes to deep dish pizza from Chicago. I've been to Chicago before. I've had the OG stuff from the city that it originated from. And deep dish pizza is not pizza. It is just lasagna. It is a big, thick piece of bread with some sauce and some cheese on it. It's not pizza, people.
Of those patients, 76% were waiting for a kidney.
I do think we're getting closer. Personally, I think we're still years away, but who knows? As you know, science can move pretty fast once we start getting these findings.
Growing up on the old farm in DeLeon Springs, where I grew up at, we had some potbelly pigs that somebody had given to us, and a wild boar ended up getting into the pen, breeding with one of the female potbelly pigs, and they had a baby. Some of the meanest little mother effers you're ever going to see. But I know, like, you guys are going to think I'm a big sicko, but I got to tell you, out of all the animals in the animal kingdom, the pig has the most weirdest looking penis. I remember the first time I saw, you know, because pigs, they inbreed all the time. They don't care if they're having sex with their sister or whatever. But a pig's penis comes out like a corkscrew on a power drill. It's just like, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And it really, really is. Look it up. The other weird one, there was a father of one of my teammates when I played high school baseball. He had a toothpick. And the toothpick was made out of a coon's penis, a raccoon's penis. Because when they dry up, they get really, really hard. I don't know. I think from everything I read that the raccoon has one of the hardest erections in all the animal kingdom. But it's very, very pointed at the end, and it makes a perfect toothpick for the white trash down here in Florida.
But bioethicists point out religious concerns and the toll this could take on animals shouldn't be ignored.
What we have done to non-human life in the name of human progress is unbelievable. We really owe them a lot.
Wait, I don't get this. I mean, we eat pigs all the time. We keep them in horrible, like, conditions. Sometimes, you know, they got to boil the pigs in hot water to be able to get the hair off of them. You guys got to forget, I was in the FFA. They would take us on field trips every year to the slaughterhouse to see a cow get killed or a pig. They would slaughter any of these pigs. You haven't lived until you're a teenage boy, like 13, 14. They got a cow, like, already killed. They're draining the blood. And this old, good old boy comes out smoking a cigarette. I don't know if that's proper in front of a bunch of high school students. Cranks up a chainsaw and saws the cow's head off right in front of us. It was like straight out of a Rob Zombie horror flick.
The transplant research has not been published or peer-reviewed yet, but doctors say this could be the breakthrough that transforms transplants of other organs as well, potentially saving even more lives. Christine Birak, CBC News, Toronto.
Before I get into my next story, I kind of want to just pull the curtain back a little bit to let you know, like, the process of me doing this daily podcast for my supporters. I'm constantly doing show prep. I'm prepping. I'm always on my phone. You know, like I talked about it, when I get my screen time updates, at the end of every week on a Sunday, it tells me it's pretty ridiculous the amount of times and how much time I spend on my phone. But I'm constantly looking for news stories. Now, you guys also would not believe all the great news stories that I find that I can't find audio for. I just, you know, working in a audio platform, it just sounds better to have, like, a news presenter reading the news story. I think it makes it better because then I can stab in I can make my jokes, I can make comments, and whatever. And previously, I had the Queen of the South, who was a friend of the nurse chick that I was hanging out with for a while. My God, that one went sideways. Went sideways as hell. And it kind of relates to the next story, but my good friend, who is actually a professional voiceover actor and does voiceovers for commercials, TV, can do any character voices. If you're doing any animation and you're looking for a voice, my good friend Amy Sinha, that's Amy. If we want to check out her website, Amy, it's A-M-Y Sinha, Sinha.com. She's a voiceover actor. She lives in Wales. I don't know if she wants me to say the exact city that she lives in, but I had her on the show. Vulture ended up booking her as a guest because she had a really, really interesting story. And we became really close friends, and we talk pretty much every day. And I was like, I ran the idea by her. I was like, look, I find a lot of great news stories, and I think it would be cool, like, are you okay with me sending these to you? I'll plug your website. Maybe it'll get you some business. You can use any of the audio that you want to for your voiceover reel. But the next story I wanted to talk about, and I find it kind of interesting. A lot of guys have big egos. And when women are done with you, it's like a light switch. It's either on or off. And when that bitch is off, they don't care. They have no emotions about you at all when that light goes off.
Breaking up causes more emotional pain for men. While stereotypes typically paint women as the more emotional partner in any couple, a new study finds that's not the case when couples fall apart. Researchers from Lancaster University say men appear to experience more emotional pain and heartbreak when a relationship ends.
I know a lot of guys will not admit this, but this story is 100% true. It is. This study is absolutely true. You want to know why? Because guys have egos. They do. And even if it's a chick that they don't like, when the sex gets cut off, yeah, it really is a kick in the nuts. But when a guy has feelings or emotions for a girl, and he's really, truly in love, when you meet that one chick that just, like, makes you feel weak in the knees every time she comes around, and she breaks it off with you, yeah, it is a big blow to the ego. And guys take that stuff personally. They start getting in their own heads. They're like, what's wrong with me? What did I do? Is my penis not big enough? Am I not in shape enough? Am I ugly? Is my style off? I mean, guys, when left alone and nobody around, man, we go into some deep, dark places.
In an anonymous online forum involving 184,000 people posting about their relationship issues, study authors found that the number one problem is, as many might expect, communication. The study found that the most common thing people wanted to talk about in the forum was the emotional pain their problems caused, instead of the problem themselves. Unlike the stereotypes revolving around breakups, however, the team finds men were more likely to discuss the heartbreak ending a relationship caused than women. Study authors say this flies in the face of the perception that men are generally less interested in their romances.
I'll give you a prime example. Because I got married in 2006, we didn't separate, me and my ex-wife, until 2014. So, and we had dated before that since 2002. So you guys got to realize, like, I was really into her. I was. And I don't want you guys to think I'm some type of player or not, but I lived a pretty sheltered life. I lost my virginity when I was 19. And I went on a pretty good run in my early 20s. working on the Monsters in the Morning at Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando. My wife, my ex-wife, I met her at a station event. She wanted to meet me. So, yeah, it was kind of easy. But I got to tell you, right after, oh, by the way, this shows you how much I was into her. I ended up waiting from 2002 until 2006 before I even had sex with her. And boy, was that a big mistake. But I was so in love with her at the time that, you know what? I'll wait. I will wait. Love makes guys do dumbass stuff. And she went up to New Jersey because some stuff had happened between us before she left. She went up to New Jersey for her sister's baby shower. And you know what I did? I just packed up my stuff and I left. Russ Rollins, the host at the time that I was working for, had a condo, and he was like, hey, do you want to use my condo? I was like, hell yes, I'm out. And I didn't even wait around. I just got out of there. But man, when I knew that I was finally over with, I hated her guts. Hated them. And now looking back on it, it was stupid of me to have that mindset, because we did have some good times. I'm not saying we talk all the time now, but we do still talk, because I was kind of a F up. A lot of the problems we had was because of what I did for a living. It was also because of my alcoholism. I didn't really drink but like one or two times during the marriage. But man, it was bad. Because that was a deal breaker for her. Drug and alcohol abuse, deal breaker. And you're like, oh, Tuttle, why would you bend over backwards or you know, come groveling on your knees and give up, you know, something that you want to do? And looking back on it, guess what? It was the best thing for me, because with me being left unchecked, I would do the dumbest stuff that you could think of. You want to hand me a pill? Oh, all right, I'll take it. Oh, you want to hand me a drink? I'll take it. I had no self-control at all. But I despised her. And it was a blow to my ego. I was like, what's wrong with me? And that's why I feel that this story hits close to home, especially in my life.
Notably, the fact that the heartache theme was more commonly discussed by men emphasizes how men are at least as emotionally affected by relationship problems as women, Entwistle says. The study also reveals that men are more likely to seek help from online resources when it comes to their relationship.
Guys are so goddamn stupid. I mean, do you know how much misinformation that there is on the internet? And that's not even beginning to talk about, like, all women are different. Just because you read a story in Men's Health magazine or, like, Esquire or any of those, like, paper rags that they call. No, like, that's going to get you in trouble more than anything at all. And if I'm being honest, they're probably not even written by a woman. They're written by a man that probably just did his own research, probably has had a lot of failed relationships in his life, and guys take that as a gospel, and they try to incorporate it in their relationships, and it just doesn't work. Because it seems insincere.
This may have a lot to do with the stigma surrounding men seeking professional help for emotional or mental health issues in person.
I also think that, you know, there is a stigma when it comes to men. But also at the same time, I also think it is a regional problem. Like, men, especially in my case, growing up in the South, if you're depressed or you got some mental issue problems and stuff, You know what your parents, for the most part, tell you? Be happy.
What do you have going on in your life that you are depressed about?
You're young. Suck it up. Be happy. No, you're not going to a doctor. No, we're not going to put you on medication for this stuff. And it does give men, especially in the South, in the United States of America, that, oh, you need to be a real man. F your feelings. Suck it up. But that does happen, though. It really, really does happen. And I also blame that a little bit on women as well, too. Because women, they don't, it's all about their feelings. And I'm not saying all women, but there are a lot of cases where it's all about, oh, honey, are you okay? What's wrong? And a guy is expected to be that rock. A guy is expected to be that provider, that hunter and protector. And it is, for the most part. I don't know if it's that way all over the world, but in the United States, it's mostly F your feelings if you're a man. Think about this, guys. How many times, ratio-wise, have you been concerned about your chick's, you know, mental state, her feelings, compared to the amount of times she's asked you how you're doing? And like I said, I'm not trying to generalize all women, but I almost guarantee you, for the most part, guys are more concerned about women's feelings than women are concerned about guys' feelings.
Traditionally, women are more likely to identify relationship problems, consider therapy, and seek therapy than are men. When you remove the traditional social stigmas against men for seeking help and sharing their emotions, however, they seem just as interested in working through rough problems in their relationships as women, Dr. Boyd explains. This is Amy Sinha reporting for the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
If you've been a supporter of the Tuttle Daily Podcast, and you've been listening for quite some time, you guys all know that I don't support any political party. I think all politicians are crooks and stuff. But this whole, let's go Brandon. If you don't know what Let's Go Brandon is, I don't know how you wouldn't, because everybody's talking about it now. And the Republicans, this just shows you how petty politics are in general, that the Republican Party would jump all over this. I do think it's funny. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, some reporter, NASCAR driver Brandon Brown in the Xfinity series, just won his first race in Talladega. Now, the main thing that I first noticed is the amateur, like, hack work that this reporter did. Once again, women broadcasting in sports. I know that, look, I'm not a chauvinist at all, but this was a dumbass mistake on this woman reporter, because the driver's just getting out of his car. She starts to interview them, and the crowd is chanting, F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. And you know what she does? She actually draws attention to it by saying, oh, hey, Brandon Brown, they're chanting your name. Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, my God. It's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me.
Rule number one, if you're a reporter out covering a sporting event, rule number one, you do not go talk to fans on live TV. You are just asking for trouble, because they don't know the rules. They're all beard up, probably high, maybe on some cocaine. Who knows? But you know that those guys are all going to curse. But if you're standing on the start-finish line of Talladega and the crowd altogether starts yelling or chanting F Joe Biden, you're not going to get in trouble for it. The TV station isn't going to get in trouble for it. So why draw attention to it in the first place? And now everybody, the reason I wanted to talk about this is that NASCAR is going after people that are incorporating the NASCAR logo, that multicolor flag thing behind Let's Go Brandon, because everybody is selling Let's Go Brandon t-shirts now, or Let's Go Brandon hats, or anything that they can put Let's Go Brandon on. And I don't blame NASCAR. Now, they don't own the copyright on Let's Go Brandon, but using the NASCAR logo incorporated with it, yes, that's where it becomes a problem. But the bigger question is that does the reporter that created this whole craze, this viral trend, does she have any rights at all to the phrase Let's Go Brandon? Because without her, none of these, like, you know, shysters or people that are trying to make a quick buck off of something she said, Let's Go Brandon, like, is she entitled to any of that money at all? I mean, I don't know if you could actually copyright the phrase Let's Go Brandon, but this woman, if she would have been smart or had a good manager or an agent, they would have already done that because everybody was talking about it.
As you can hear the chants from the crowd, Let's Go Brandon. Brandon, you told me you were going to kind of...
All right. You can obviously tell that they're chanting F Joe Biden. Like, look, I have been wearing headphones for 22 years of my past 22 years of my life, and I still have good enough hearing that I can tell that they're yelling and chanting F Joe Biden.
Hang back those first two stages and just watch and learn. What did you learn that helped you there in those closing laps?
Oh my God, it was learning how each line didn't stay to one. And everything shifted top to bottom so much that it was kind of like, okay, let's...
The person I feel really, really bad for is Brandon Brown. Because now nobody is going to remember his first win in the Xfinity series. No, they're not going to remember that he won. Well, they will, because it's all going to be attached to the Let's Go Brandon thing. But now it's all going to be about, oh, this is where the F Joe Biden, Let's Go Biden, or Let's Go Brandon meme viral craze came from. They're all not going to remember that this kid has been working all of his life to make it in the second highest division in NASCAR. He will most likely be in the top division before it's all said and done. But no, he is now a meme for the rest of his life.
Just stay patient where we're at and hope for the best.
And a lot of you guys are probably like, oh, Tuttle, this is way old. Why are you talking about it? Well, I mean, I brought that up because the final news story that I'm going to talk about is related to this. This is how much the Let's Go Brandon craze has come up. You know those signs, the construction worker signs? It's like, speeding or speeding fines are doubled while workers are doing construction, road construction, and just giving you warnings about stuff coming up, or those signs over the interstate telling you about traffic alerts and stuff. Well, I guess in one county, one guy, I guess he must be a Republican, thought it would be a great idea to put up Let's Go Brandon on the digital signs. And that's how you know you've made it. That's how you know you made it. And that's why I feel bad for Brandon Brown, the driver. Now, did the female reporter mean to do that? No. Do I think she's entitled to a little bit of money? I will almost guarantee you later on down the road, you're going to see a court case where this reporter is going to hire an attorney and is going to start suing people that are selling Let's Go Brandon merchandise.
Guys, if you haven't heard the phrase Let's Go Brandon, let me explain. It started earlier this month when a reporter thought that is what a large group of people were yelling after a NASCAR race.
Once again, this is why I hate local news. Just call it how you see it. We all know, she knows, that they were not yelling, Let's Go Brandon. She's such an amateur. She's such a greenhorn in the business that she thought, oh my God, FCC violation. I got to cover this. No, you can't stop a crowd of 100,000 people at Talladega, one of the biggest racetracks on the circuit, from yelling something. The best thing you could have done is just not draw attention to it. So let's not play like she thought that they were saying, Let's Go Brandon. She knew damn well they were yelling F Joe Biden.
However, they were actually yelling a somewhat similar sounding expletive aimed at the president. And ever since then, Let's Go Brandon has taken off.
Poke around social media and you'll see it all over. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted it.
Wait. You're telling me that Donald Jr. had enough time to send out a tweet instead of doing a rail of cocaine off of a hooker's ass to be able to send out a Let's Go Brandon picture or a Let's Go Brandon tweet? I am absolutely shocked.
Ted Cruz tweeted it. Football fans can be heard chanting it. In this tweet.
Let's go Brandon!
Did you guys hear how slow and how just kind of slowing down on the backstretch that crowd was chanting, Let's Go Brandon? What did they do? Take a bunch of GHB or heroin at their tailgate party? Because, man, they just seemed a little slow.
Then Thursday morning, Mitch McConnell's press secretary tweeted this, a picture of the message on one of those big road signs in Falls Church. And as seen in this other tweet, that first sign wasn't the only one.
I don't think it's particularly helpful to the discourse right now.
Let's be honest. I mean, how reliable are those roadside electronic billboards? I mean, how much are they really, really updated? You know how many times I've read them like, oh, congestion ahead, 2 miles. And there's absolutely nothing because they haven't updated it. That who knows the last time they updated it? It could have been from last night's rush hour traffic. Who knows? But I've also talked about this I-4 being, oh, sorry. I just got done eating some German hot dogs. My mom came home the other day and was like, hey, son, I got us some fancy hot dogs. They're from Germany. I was like, okay, try them out. I'll eat some German sausage or hot dogs. I mean, call me old-fashioned, but I would rather just go for like a Nathan's Famous Original. You know, the ones that Joey Chestnut just chokes down every year on 4th of July. But I-4 is one of the most dangerous roads in the world. And it scares the hell out of me. You know how many times that I would be driving back to Tampa on a Sunday and then they flash up there? Be aware, wrong way driver ahead. Just as I'm about to go over a incline where you can't see over the other side of it. I know Florida's pretty flat, but I'm talking about the overpasses. So I'm just like, all right, I'm going to get in the slow lane, and I'm going to just basically, just in case there's a wrong way driver, and then I see all the silver alerts. My God, living in the state of Florida with all the retired people that we have, I mean, you see that more than an Amber Alert, in my opinion.
So, 1 week from a hotly contested gubernatorial race, it's too close to call. How did this happen? Developer Mill Creek Residential owns the signs, and they told us in a statement, we were made aware this morning that someone had broken into the control cabinets on the electronic signs and changed the messaging.
Oh, I mean, that's real convenient. It really is. I mean, that is the same excuse any celebrity that says something stupid on social media, the first thing they go to, oh, I was hacked. I mean, this is basically what this company is saying.
City officials tell us they heard about it from plenty of early morning commuters. Stephen Mostow lives about 100 yards away.
I have a pretty decent sense of humor, but it is a new dangerous intersection. And the Let's Go Brandon is really a euphemism or something for a pretty obscene chant against the president. Maybe they should upgrade their security of their side.
Come on, people. Have we really become that bunch of a bunch of pussies that we're going to say, oh, it's offensive to say, let's go, Brandon? It isn't. That's how you are taking it. That's how you're reading into it. There's nothing at all obscene about chanting, let's go, Brandon. Even though we all know what it means, there is nothing wrong with that. And what if you are a kid in high school? You know, like if your parents gave you an unfortunate name, and especially a first and last name that maybe rhymes, oh yeah, you're screwed. But what if you're in middle school or high school right now and your name is Brandon? I don't know. That might be a cool thing. Because, you know, a lot of women, a lot of younger kids are not into politics. And there might be some chick that wouldn't give you a second look. I mean, like, oh, man, why are they chanting, let's go, Brandon? Does he got a big penis? Is he good in the bed? Hell, I got to check out what this whole let's go, Brandon thing is about.
The company says they have done just that. And also, I'll tell you, talking to people out here tonight, a lot of folks still have no idea what let's go, Brandon.
Exactly. I mean, this reporter just backed up exactly what I was saying. Nobody has a clue. A lot of people aren't on social media. So really, nobody really knows what let's go, Brandon is about. Unless you're in touch with current events and pop culture, then you'll know what it means. But you know what? Stop being so offended. People are just looking for reasons to be offended, and it sucks because it's all just how cancel culture started. Anyways, guys, gonna get out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. If you get a chance, check out my newest sponsor, Ian Hanna. If you're in the market to buy or sell a home, or you know somebody that's looking to buy or sell a home in the Brevard, Volusia, Flagler areas, check out my good friend, Ian Hanna. Ian's great when it comes to these virtual tours. He does a lot of drone photography. And that's, you know, a lot of people want to be able to look at that stuff. A lot of people want to see it online before they even show up, so they're not wasting their time. So go to IanHannaHomes.com. All right, guys, getting out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds, .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.